The Vote. One of the 10 short stories in the anthology 10 Lies and 10 Truths by Parker Hudson, originally published in 2005 and recently updated.
"There they are,"
Dylan said to Ashley, as they hurried into the international arrivals area at the Los Angeles airport. Smiling broadly, Ashley hugged Judith, her old friend from Australia.
"It's so good to see you."
10 years earlier, before they were married, Dylan and Ashley Ibbotson had been American graduate students in Oxford, and Judith had been Ashley's Australian roommate.
"You don't look a day older."
Dylan smiled as he shook Thomas's hand. When Judith and her Oxford boyfriend, Thomas Girling, were married in Australia 2 years after graduation, the Ibbotsons, also newlyweds, had flown out for the wedding. In the intervening 8 years and 2 children apiece, the couples had not been as close. But now the Australians had arrived in the U.S. so that Judith could attend a conference at the start of the new year.
"Only you two would fly on New Year's Eve,"
Ashley said as she hugged Thomas.
"Fares on the hyperplanes are going up in 2035,
Judith explained.
"So we decided to spend a couple of extra days with our favorite Yanks. We hope you don't mind having us."
"Of course not. We love it. I just wish you could have brought Jonathan and Amy."
"They'll be just as happy with their grandparents. And Mom and Dad are used to taking care of Jonathan,"
Thomas said.
"So, how are you two?"
"We're great. Let's get your luggage to the car. We're on a bit of a tight schedule,"
Dylan added as he reached for one of the suitcases.
"The Vote?"
Thomas asked.
"Yes."
"That's another reason we wanted to arrive today. We've read about it for years, but we wanted to see how it works in action, so to speak."
With a suitcase in each hand, Dylan headed for the exit.
"It's always interesting. Hopefully we'll make it home in time for you to see it all."
"Lead on,"
Judith said, as the four friends continued to the car. 90 minutes later, the two couples were relaxing in the Ibbotson's den. The Girlings had unpacked and freshened up, handed out gifts to the kids, and been shown the latest improvements to the backyard landscaping. Now, drinks in hand, the four friends were seated around the interactive television in 2 comfortable chairs and a sofa.
"How are Jonathan and Amy?"
Ashley asked.
"Amy at 3 never stops asking questions, and she certainly knows how to get her way with her father,"
Thomas smiled.
"And Jonathan, now that he's 6, is doing well in school, even with his mosaic Down's syndrome."
Ashley nodded.
"We were so concerned about him when he was born."
"Yes, Jonathan has certainly taught us patience that we didn't know we had. And love."
They spent the next 30 minutes catching up on family and old friends. As 4 o'clock approached, it was inevitable that the vote should come up.
"So,"
Thomas said, leaning forward from the sofa and putting his drink on the coffee table in front of him.
"How does it actually work?"
Dylan glanced from the TV to his watch and then back to his Australian friend.
"In about 10 minutes, the process will start, as it does every New Year's Eve afternoon. We'll vote instantaneously on, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 issues that will then be implemented for the next year."
"Who decides what will be voted on?"
Judith asked.
"During November and December, anyone can place an issue at the vote website. The rest of us review the proposals and add our support for nomination. If an issue receives more than 5 million endorsements, it will automatically be on the vote. Then everyone starts to research the subject and to talk about it. It's really quite well done."
"I see."
Thomas retrieved his drink and sat back next to Judith.
"And whatever the majority decides today is then the law for at least the next year."
"Yes."
"On any subject? I mean, aren't there some issues that are just so obvious that they don't need to be voted on?"
"Maybe so. What was it, Ashley, 8 years ago?" "Yes, 8 years ago, we instituted this system to answer all of the confusion and garbage from one judge saying this and another panel of judges saying that and one legislature doing this and Congress doing that. It was a huge mess, no one knew what was right and what was wrong, what was legal and what was illegal. Now the whole nation decides every New Year's Eve which laws to change or leave unchanged, and then we all know exactly where we stand. No more confusion, no more gray areas. We're all governed by what the majority thinks is true and best.
But aren't there some, I don't know, absolutes? Things like, say, theft and murder that don't need voting on?
Thomas asked.
You Australians are obviously out of touch.
Ashley smiled and passed the mixed nut tray.
Most of us in America have known for years that there are no absolutes. Everything is relative to each person's or each society's time and place. Long ago, people used to say that America was founded on principles of absolute truths. But we know that America was really founded by men and women who just wanted to be free to create their own individual destinies. That's what we've designed the vote to do. It lets us freely decide as our society evolves what is right and what is wrong, for us, for our time and place. It's a wonderful system.
There was a pause.
I see,
Thomas finally said.
So what's on the ballot this year?
Dylan put down his drink and picked up a folder from beside his chair on the floor.
I downloaded the voter's guide for today's vote. It lists all the issues. Here's one. There's a proposal to raise the ceiling on legal theft from $250 to $500. Ashley and I don't like that one. We think $250 is plenty.
You mean anyone in America can steal anything worth $250 or less, and it's legal?
Yes,
Ashley replied.
We passed that a few years ago to help homeless people and to unclog the courts. The limit is per event. And of course, there can't be any violence associated with it. Just simple theft.
You mean every day I can take $249 out of the cash register where I work and no one can complain?
Well, yes, but you wouldn't do that, Judith.
Why wouldn't I?
Because you're a person who understands right and wrong, like most of us.
But you just said that you're voting on what's right and wrong, and if it's not wrong to take up to $250, why wouldn't I?
Because you just know that it's not right.
But...
Dylan turned to face the large screen interface.
Oh, they're starting. Ashley, is our terminal online and logged in?
Ashley glanced at the steady green light on the small box to the left of the console.
We're on...
Good. There'll be a brief introduction by the president, and then we'll start the vote.
The president briefly praised the nation's annual opportunity for renewal and moving forward in the new year. When she finished, the electronic voting began. Each issue was put on the screen for 5 minutes. Qualified voters could vote at any time. There was a 15-second warning that time was running out, and then the vote was finished. All the results were given together at the end of the vote to encourage people to engage on all of the issues. Ashley and Dylan each had a keypad connected wirelessly to the console. They turned in their chairs to face the large screen, and Dylan said,
"Okay, here we go."
The first issue came up. In order to promote a better and healthier nation, the birth score should be raised from 105 to 110. Yes or no?
That's a tough one.
What's the birth score?
Oh, it's the grading system they use to determine who is viable. There's one at birth and another one after any serious illness or injury if you're over age 65.
Viable?
Yes.
Ashley turned to face her guests.
You know, they can do almost instant genetic testing now at birth, and even months before. Points are assigned for every imaginable trait of the fetus and the social condition of the parents. And if the minimum is not reached, then the baby is aborted or terminated.
You mean the baby is killed after it's born?
Judith asked.
Not really. According to the law, they have 1 hour, but usually the genetic scan is completed and added to the socialist economic score within 10 minutes. So whether the fetus is terminated a few minutes before birth, or the quote baby unquote is terminated a few minutes after birth, it's the same. At most, it's only alive for a little while, and the result is much better for the rest of us.
What sorts of things are scored?
Oh, you know, all of the genetic flags for diseases like cancer and hemophilia, heart murmur, the things you'd expect.
And then the parents are graded for income, intelligence, and those kinds of things. The points are added up, and if they don't reach 105, the fetus or baby is terminated. The vote is asking whether to raise the score to 110.
Judith shook her head silently. Ashley smiled.
Hey, it's not bad. We're just helping natural selection with new technology. In fact, it's good. Remember how we had all of those unwed mothers giving birth 30 years ago, causing dysfunctional non-families? Now they assign negative 25 points to any unwed parent situation, so that baby has to be really special to pass. The result is far fewer teenage girls having babies. It's a huge improvement.
Thomas looked down at his drink.
I guess Jonathan would have been terminated at birth.
Ashley looked at Thomas and frowned.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Dylan?
I don't know,
her husband replied in a low voice. Silence hung in the air. Finally, Ashley said,
The time is almost up. I'm going to vote to leave it at 105.
She pressed her keypad, and a window on the screen registered that her no vote had been recorded.
Me too,
Dylan added, and his vote was also recorded.
All right, does anyone else need a refill?
He stood.
Yes, thanks,
Thomas said, handing his glass to his host, his face still very serious. The screen changed.
Here's an easier one,
Ashley smiled.
The legal drinking age should be raised from 16 to 21. Yes or no?
16?
Thomas asked.
Crazy, isn't it? That's the only problem with the vote. Last year, a lot of young people put a big block together to lower the age to 16, and I guess many folks just weren't looking or didn't vote, so it carried by a narrow margin. This year, we're correcting it.
For this past year, 16-year-olds have been able to drink legally?
Yes, but not for much longer, we hope.
Thomas nodded.
I see. But going back to that last question, you said that you assign negative 25 birth points for the baby of an unwed mother. What are some other examples?
Well, they assign negative 10 points if one parent didn't finish high school, plus 15 if the parents are gay or from a minority, to correct for past discrimination, and negative 20 if one parent has a criminal record. Just normal stuff that you'd expect.
You've got to be kidding,
Judith almost whispered.
Why?
Ashley answered.
It's actually pretty reasonable.
We're just assisting evolution to create the most productive people while assuring that the best of the lower orders survive.
Thomas raised his hand.
Wait a minute. You're telling us that, on the margin, you terminate more babies born to less educated parents because they are lower on the evolutionary order?
Yes.
Ashley nodded.
What's wrong with that?
Thomas just shook his head.
I mean,
Ashley continued.
We know how important diversity is, celebrating how different we are. It only makes sense that if we are different, then some are better than others.
And that's exactly what evolution says, too, so it all fits. And again, it's not that we're killing anyone, for God's sake, unless you call a baby less than an hour old a person. It's just that we're ensuring through this point system that the best of the less desirables do survive, and then they are welcome in our society.
Glancing at each other, Judith and Thomas each took a sip from their glasses. Then Thomas moved forward on the couch.
Do I understand that with the vote, you could reinstate slavery, or decide that everyone over 90 ought to die, or anything you wanted?
Technically, yes, but no one would ever vote for those things.
Why not?
Dylan smiled.
Because you just know that they're not right. I mean, it's obvious.
It is? What if some scientific study showed that slavery is, on balance, best for society?
Don't be silly,
Ashley said.
We know that slavery isn't right.
How?
We just know. One person shouldn't enslave another. It's obvious.
She stood and walked to the kitchen. Thomas turned to Dylan.
But if right and wrong are not based on some absolute concepts and are determined by a vote of the society, then why couldn't the society decide that slavery is a great idea? Or that children ought to be raised in state institutions rather than by their parents? Or whatever.
Thomas, you exaggerate. We would never vote for things like that.
How do you know?
Judith asked, slightly shaking her head. Ashley, walking in from the kitchen, said,
People just know that those things wouldn't be right.
How?
I don't know. They just know.
She put a tray of cheese and crackers on the coffee table and sat down again. Their Australian friends frowned. Thomas said,
Some of the things you've already told us seem pretty abhorrent to us, since we're from backward Australia. If there's no truth except that everything is relative, and society decides truth on its own, then it seems to us that in fact anything is possible. And you seem to be proving that today.
I wouldn't worry too much,
Dylan said, picking up a cracker and adding a slice of cheese.
People are pretty reasonable and good. We don't think that there's much chance for abuse.
But that's the thing. Abuse is the wrong word because it implies that you know right from wrong in the first place. With this system, right and wrong change every year. You can't abuse anyone because there is no standard to measure that term against. It's whatever you make it.
We believe people are good at heart, so they know right from wrong inside.
Judith asked,
Really? Is that what evolution and natural selection show us?
What do you mean?
How does evolution create good in someone's heart? Seems like only the strong and merciless would survive, not the good, the one who might perish trying to help someone else.
Ashley laughed.
You're confusing me with all of this theory. I just know that the vote is good and it's working fine. We're evolving as a society without the hindrances of those supposed absolute truths that some people used to talk about all the time. Honey, can you refresh my drink?
Thomas sat forward.
They don't talk about absolute truth anymore?
Dylan stood.
We voted 2 years ago that since there are no absolute truths, no one can talk about them. Not in public, at least. We believe that people who try to fill our children with those sorts of thoughts are a detriment to our nation. Since evolution and relative truth are proven facts, it's not fair to our children to cloud their minds with anything else. Okay, honey,
Dylan said, turning toward his wife.
So we've got a vote now on this one. Then there are, 22 more. Judith and Thomas, are you comfortable? Do you need anything?
The end. Thank you for listening to this multi-voice audio version of The Vote, one of the 10 short stories in my book, 10 Lies and 10 Truths, which I originally wrote in 2005. I hope you enjoyed it. To learn more about that book and my novels, as well as other works, please visit my website, parkerhudson.com. All the best.